Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, The Four Dimensions of Prayer.
1 John chapter number 5. It says, "These things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." 1 John 5 verse 13, that you know that you have eternal life. It's not a question anymore. He says these things, this is the beloved disciple, this is the disciple that was in the unique company of the three, this is the disciple that laid his head on Jesus' bosom. He said, "I'm writing to you that I want you to know you have eternal life." It's not a question. If you're saved, you've accepted Jesus, heaven is your eternal home. Somebody say thank you, Jesus, about that. Right? You have eternal life. This is what John says. "I'm writing to you so you will know that you have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." All right? I want you to be secure in your salvation, but I also want you to believe in the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence. This is how we prove that 1 and 2 that I stated to you is true. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That ought to quiet about 6 demons that tell you God ain't listening to your prayers. God, I want you to save my whole family. What happens then? God in heaven say, "Check, I got to start working on their family." God, I want you to bless and prosper my whole house. God puts a check. He asked me. Now I got to start prospering. I got to put something skillful in his hand. Because he asked for prosperity. I got to put diligence in his work ethic, so he'll leave a living legacy. Why? Because I ask him to prosper the work of my hands. God, I just want to be healthy. Somebody said to me, "God, I just want to be healthy." When you say things like that, because it's according to his will, in heaven there's a check mark. I got to let her watch the right commercial to make her drink more water, because she asked me for divine health. So why did I sit down right in time? That commercial keep coming on every time I sit down. Because you asked him for divine health. He puts a check up in heaven. And if we ask or anything according to his will, he heareth us. And whosoever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we, and not only does he hear us, and we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart for these next 10 minutes that I have, God. Give me articulation of speech. Let me declare your word. Let me make your points clear. And then let me say what it is that you've said. And let them embrace your word. God, we've entered into a whole nother dimension, a whole nother time. You're doing things that blow our minds. You're doing things that captivate and our attention. You're doing things that we will know, God, that if we ask it, it's according to your will. Not only do you hear it, but we have the things that we've asked for. So now thank you, Father, that we'll operate in these dimensions of prayer. And we will understand now that Proverbs 18 says that the man shall eat and shall be full by the words of his mouth. Show us today in these next few minutes how we pray it and then we speak it. We speak it and then we go back to prayer with it. We pray it and then we speak it. We speak it and we go back to prayer. Show it, demonstrate it, and then let us all benefit. You said, "Believe in the Lord thy God, you shall be established." You said, "Believe his prophets and you will prosper." Put a prosperity on this message, Father. Put a prosperity on this message. That every house, Father, under the sound of my voice, every house, every hand, good God from Zion, every hand would have multiplication on it, Lord. That we touch, Father, it'll prosper. You said, "Believe your prophets and we will prosper." This is your word. Establish it today according to your will. And we'll glorify your name. And God's people said amen and amen. Just stay there. I'm at the 8-minute mark, all right? I'm sitting right there. Minstrels, clock me. 8 minutes, all right? All right, for a few moments, I want to talk about, amen, speaking daily what we're praying for fervently, all right? And I changed the title a little bit. It's going to be different up there. All right, speaking daily what we're praying fervently, all right? grace, speaking daily what we are praying fervently. All right, there are three passages of scripture that I gave you today that it speaks to how do I speak what it is that I'm praying. How do I pray what it is I'm speaking? And there are three thoughts that I'm going to give to you that you just apply them. I believe Minister Aker said today that after you hear what I said, you now go home and you study it. That you cover your ground, that the seed of the word will not be dug up by the cares of this life. And then you just walk it out and watch God prosper you beyond your years. All right. Three things and I'm done. Number one, how do I speak daily what I am praying fervently? All right. Number one declares. I'm going to get to number one in a minute. I had a great introduction, y'all. Y'all missed my great introduction. All right. Maybe y'all will get it another time. But number one, listen to, hold fast, and know it is trustworthy what the beloved disciple John wrote in 1 John 5, verse 13 through 15. All right. Number one, let's go, media minister. Number one, listen to, hold fast, and know that what John, the beloved disciple, wrote to us is trustworthy. Right. What John says in 1 John 5, he said, we know that he heareth us when we pray. And not only do he heareth us, but we have what it is that we petitioned him for. That's trustworthy. Hold fast to that. I wish I had a little bit more time, because who's writing this is very significant, because this is the beloved disciple. Disciples should be marked. Disciples should be examined. The disciples model the obedience that we must standardize. Did y'all get that? And I wish I had a little bit more time, because I'm skipping my whole introduction. Right, but John, the beloved disciple, what he said in 1 John 5, 13 and 15, it's trustworthy. Your salvation is secure. Heaven is your home. Now have faith in the Son of God. Just have faith in, childlike faith in the Son of God. Just have faith in the Son of God. And then he says, every time you pray, your Father heareth you. Y'all know what I love about God? Through the Holy Spirit, he interprets, oh Lord. Have anybody ever prayed that? Oh Lord. Anybody ever been driving? See, old saints did this. I don't know what y'all, you young saints do. But the old saints, when they about to get in an accident, normally the first thing come out is Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't interpret that from God, and God interpret that, don't let this car get in an accident. We have to now know, and y'all keep me there because I'm down to 7 minutes. You're already doxologizing me. We got to know 1 John 5, 13 through 15. Hold fast to that. So when your child is going through something, pray for that child and know that God heard you. I'm going to say that again, because many of you got little babies in here and you got big babies in here. You have to know, whatever you pray for your child, God heareth you. So watch what you say over that child. You can't say God make him smart and make him educated and then call him dumb like your daddy. That ain't working. That says you don't believe what you're praying for. Come on, tell somebody, God heard you. Whatever it is you need God to do next week at work that you've been praying for the last 36 hours, God heard you. And you got to hold fast to that. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, hold fast to that. You got to believe it. Wish I had more time. Put in your notes, 1 Thessalonians 1, 5 through 7. Put in your notes 1 Thessalonians 1, 5 through 7. But I'm going to hold fast. I'm going to listen. And I'm going to know it is trustworthy what God said to the beloved disciple. Number two. Closely listen to what is being preached. closely listen to what is being preached. And I need to help some of you. Most of the time we focus on what we ought to really be ignoring. And what we really ought to be paying attention to, we missed the whole sermon. I don't care whether it's me. I don't care if it's a CD you put in. I don't care if you happen to stumble on that channel. You woke up in the morning and that dude was up there preaching. Listen carefully. Because God might be bringing agreement to what you're praying. God might be slightly aligning how you need to pray. Don't let anything snatch your attention when somebody's preaching. Anything snatch your attention when you ought to be listening to preaching, because the preaching leads to praying and the praying leads back to preaching. Listen to what's being preached. Listen to what's being prayed. And now this is what the Holy Spirit brought me into to make sure I told y'all, especially those of you that really don't know how to pray. Find somebody that you can just sort of kind of start listen how they pray. Okay, y'all ain't saying nothing. Most intercessors were birthed by an intercessor. Can I bring y'all into something? When prayers are being made in this house, normally y'all know what y'all boy doing. What they praying? Okay, y'all ain't saying nothing here. Listen to what's being preached. But I'm going to help somebody here today. If you want to find out what's really going on with your prayer life, I'm going to give y'all a secret here. Record what you're praying. You might find out why your prayer ain't working. Because if you in your prayer saying, Lord, I'm sometimes up. And Lord, I'm sometimes down. And Lord, I'm almost level. I said, you can't do that when I'm doing that. Edward, let him know he can't do that when I'm doing what I'm doing. You can't do that right there. You just got to hold it. If you don't know what to do, just hold it. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm just messing with it. When you pray, Lord, I'm sometimes up. And I'm sometimes down. I said I'm sometimes down. I'm going down south now, y'all. And I'm almost level. And then all week you sometimes up. And you sometimes down. You didn't listen to what you were praying. Listen to what is being prayed. And I'm going to say again, those of you that really don't have a prayer life, all right, somebody might need to drag you into understanding how to pray. You might need to get, and see, old school, see, I get a lot of this stuff from old school. We had no problem up under the altar listening to the older folks pray. I learned how to cast out devils watching my daddy. I learned how to let devils know, with them maybe, but not with me. I watched my father walk in authority dealing with the demonic. So when I move over into the realm, I'm really operating out of his mantle, everything I've seen him do. And I've seen him drag a demonized boy up under a B3 organ, out of under that B3 organ. So some of us are not where we need to be in praying, and we might need to get up under somebody praying and listen to how they pray. And you will hear them binding. You'll hear them loosening. You'll hear them decreeing. You'll hear them demanding and declaring. You'll hear them mostly, I'm talking about effective prayers, calling God's word back to him. This emotional stuff in prayer, it might get temporary relief of your emotions, but it don't do too much in the realm of the spirit. Watch, listen to what's being preached. Watch what is being prayed. Because in the preaching, in the praying, it establishes what we ought to be believing in this stage of our journey. In what's being preached and what's being prayed establishes what we should be believing in this stage of the journey. I'm going to say that again. What's being preached and what's being prayed, it establishes what we're supposed to be believing for in this stage of the journey. In this stage of the journey, it should be clear that we're trying to fulfill the Great Commission. We're trying to be made into disciples, and we are trying to make disciples. That's constantly being prayed. That's constantly being preached, whether you come Tuesday or Sunday. But ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, are you listening? Neighbor, are you listening? Now you can finish doxology in me. Thank you, Holder. Closely. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, are you listening? Are you listening? I have to be done now, y'all. Number three, choose to always speak life, which gives more energy to what we are praying and expecting to happen. Choose to always speak life, which gives more energy to what we are praying. To speak death after we done prayed that long in prayer is saying we didn't value that time of prayer. Choose to always speak life, which gives more energy to what we are praying and expecting to happen. Proverbs 18 and 20. I'll read it in case you've never read it. Proverbs 18 and 20. Just turn there real quickly so you'll understand. And then I'll go to John 6 and 63 and I'll be done. Proverbs 18, verse 20. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with his increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Go to John chapter 6 real quickly, and this is where I land the plane. In John 6 and 63, it is the spirit that quickened and the flesh profited nothing. Listen what Jesus said. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit, and they are life. We must choose to speak life that it energizes what we are praying and we are expecting to happen. In the third dimension of prayer, we begin to master speaking life into what we are praying and expecting to happen. Whatever, this is why it's so important to write down the things that you're praying for and the one desire that you're praying for, because then you have to then take also a monitor of what it is that you're saying after you pray. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, after you did all that praying, what you say in the next 24 hours? There should be agreement. There must be agreement. Whatever it is you're praying, you got to then monitor, because if you're not careful, what you're speaking to is canceling what you're praying for. And in the third dimension, I begin to master, if I'm saying one thing, then I take the model of Abraham, I call life, and I stagger not at the promises of God. In hopeless situations, I speak word of faith. It's not a denomination. It's a way of life. Everything I'm praying, I then got a master speaking life to it on a daily basis. Everything I'm praying, I got to then master speaking life to it on a daily basis. I'm going to use divine health as an example. If I'm saying that I believe in God bringing me to divine health, then I have to speak to my divine health. Even when doctors say things, I got to understand that's their expertise, but they practice it. The chief physician that I serve ain't practicing. He's a healer of the body and a savior of the soul. So when I'm believing, and especially if you've had any health issues, it becomes very difficult, and it becomes challenging to say, I'm going to walk in divine health. And so whatever it is you're praying for, you then got to speak. I'm talking about speaking the glasses of water. When I drink this glass of water, it's going to wash all my white blood cells. When I drink this apple juice, or when I got a little thing I do for my throat. I'll give y'all a secret for y'all going to be public speakers. Lemons have an acid in it that it clears out, for some reason it clears out the throats. So whenever I got any issues going on, I rarely ever have issues with my throat because I walk in divine health. But if I ever feel anything working my throat, I'll cut up some onions and I'll boil them, put a little bit of honey in it. Lemons, what'd I say? Onions, they ain't talking about no onions. Thank y'all. Y'all are a good congregation. But I cut up the lemons, all right? And then I boil them, and I put a little bit of honey of it, all right? And I do one of two things. I put water in it and mix it and drink it, or I put a little vinegar in it and I gargle. Please don't drink the one with the vinegar in it. Don't drink the one. And it clears out all of this. I don't know what it is that God put in lemons, but with lemons in my throat and boiling, it's a wonder in my soul. I hit notes I ain't never hit before. But when I'm doing all of that, I speak over that when I'm gargling or drinking it, that this is going to cause my throat to be healed. I don't say stuff like, this ain't going to work. This is some old school remedy. And my daddy got me hooked. Oh, it ain't no good. You got to speak life in agreement with what you pray for. And I just use that as an example. Because some of the things we're praying for, we're canceling when we open up our mouth and start talking to folks. And the third dimension we move into, some things we said sound crazy to people because they were not in the closet when we were praying. Some of the things that I just, for some reason, I got on that subject and I sort of kind of spit something out to you and you're like, where did he get that from? That was something I was praying for that I had to speak life to. Jesus said that my words are spirit and they are life. We have the ability, because we made an image and likeness, we have ability to speak and create. And in this season, tell your neighbor, I choose to speak life. And sometimes people are not going to understand the life that you're speaking. You'll be talking about Brisbane, Australia, and folks looking at you like, you know what's going on 1045? They don't understand. I've covered 1045 in prayer. So I got to speak to Brisbane so somebody can take the vision and run with it. We have to speak life. What it is we praying, or it died when we started speaking death. I'm going to say that one more time, and then I promise y'all I'm done. We have to speak life to what it is that we're praying for, because it dies the minute we begin to speak death. Because we have power to create. So even right now, let me bring y'all a little bit in. Even right now, some of what's going on in the news about Baltimore City, we don't need to watch. Is what we speak it. We're saying revival is coming to Baltimore. And if you watch too much of the news, the only thing you'll think about right now is where them books at for Sister Holly. Where them daggone books for Holly. If I can get Naomi laughing, I'm doing good. If you watch too much of the news, the only thing going on your mind is where them daggone books. You got $500,000. And so you got to watch it, news, what it's saying into your spirit, because you know what you're praying for. I'm praying for revival to come to Baltimore City. And if he's got to remove one more mayor, ain't got nothing to do with that. I wish her well. I wish for mercy, because justice is coming. And we don't want justice for anybody. Come on, y'all. Y'all better come here. We want mercy. But y'all ain't saying nothing. She needs, some of y'all are saying, she needs, no, she don't need just, she needs mercy. We call y'all, okay, see, y'all. What you say? Yes. Oh, absolutely. We want mercy. So that's just an example of whatever we're praying for. We got to watch if anything trying to contaminate our speaking. I'm speaking revival over Baltimore City. I'm thinking Baltimore City is going to be called a city of God. So I got to watch how the news affects my speaking. Come on, tell your neighbor one more time. Say, neighbor, you praying for some stuff. Now the next time you open up your mouth, speak life.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive a full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.